Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we'll be bringing God's Word through the book of Nehemiah. Many of the lessons we'll learn from Nehemiah will be on prayer, leadership, overcoming enemies, restoring hearts, integrity, and holiness. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
We're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. As you make your way there, I want to share with you a few short stories of, I just think they're funny, but a few years ago, a gentleman by the name of Benson Mayowa tweeted that the Dallas Cowboys football team's then current season game standing with 11 wins and one loss. So he was kind of bragging about his favorite team. Like, hey, we got 11 wins and one loss. And someone responded to his tweet by calling him a bandwagon fan. Kind of like a fair weather fan, right? Like, hey, well, when they're doing good, you're a fan. He replied, quote, I'm a bandwagon fan. Son, I play on the team. Now go stand in the corner. Benson Mayowa was the defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys in 2016, and he now plays for the Cardinals. And I thought, that's pretty hilarious. You don't even know who you're talking to, and you're calling him a bandwagon fan. How about the TSA agent checking Anthony Hawk's ID, who said, Hawk, like that famous skateboarder, huh? It was Tony Hawk. Or this one cracked me up too, and I didn't know who this was, and I wouldn't have recognized her, but Lizzie Simmons, anybody know who that is? Probably not, but she's an English competitive swimmer who has represented Great Britain in the Olympics on multiple occasions. She was swimming laps when a lady in the next lane, next to her, was just there swimming laps. And the lady turned to Lizzie Simmons and said, you are really good. You should try out with the country club. And she said, well, I actually went to a couple of Olympics. The other lady said, really? Me too. Which sports did you get tickets to watch? As I read some of these short stories, I thought, do you think if these people knew who it was they were addressing, that would have changed the way that they approached them? It would have changed like their attitude and their mentality? Maybe we probably don't want to share, but there's been times where I have been talking way too long. I know that happens frequently. And then when the other person that I was talking to opened their mouth and I realized how much they knew and who they were and what their position was, I was like, oh my goodness, I should have been listening this whole time. And I can't help but think that maybe this is how we are with God sometimes. I want you to think about this. We don't really realize who we're talking to. If we do recognize God for who he is and who we are addressing or who is addressing us, do you think that that would align our attitude in how we approach him and what our response to him should be? I think so. We're in Nehemiah chapter 8, and I want to give you just a brief overview of chapter 7 because I'm not preaching on chapter 7. Chapter 7 is 73 verses where the people are registered and a record was made for contributions to the work of rebuilding the wall. And I know what you're thinking, Luke, you missed a great opportunity to preach on tithing and giving. But I decided not to cover that chapter in a sermon, but it's the organization and structure of not just the wall, but of society that was important for the healthy function of them as a people and also of the work of God that would take place in the temple and through their nation. And then we come to chapter 8. We come to chapter 8, and this is where they read the scripture. They read the scripture, and we're going to see the reading of the scripture, but then we're going to see the attitude of the people, the response, the attitude being the heart response of the people. Would you pray with me, and we'll look at Nehemiah 8 together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that Lord, as we approach you, as we approach your word, that we would not be like these people in these fun stories who didn't realize the talented people that they were addressing. They didn't realize that they were experts in their field. They didn't realize that they should have had a different attitude, a different approach to them. God, as we recognize who you are and your authority, I pray that you would align our attitudes to follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to cover just the first 8 verses of Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we're going to walk back through it. Nehemiah chapter 8, and I read out of the English Standard Version, by the way, in case you're a different version and it's a little different. It says, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard. On the first day of the 7th month, and he read from it, facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of all the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his right hand, Padiah, Mishael, and a few other long names that you can pronounce on your own time. How about that? And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. As he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Shabiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebathiah, and a bunch of other people helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. Verse 8, they read from the book from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading." And by the way, I'm not trying to make fun of any biblical names. That's a mouthful, and I don't think anybody knows exactly how to pronounce them anyway. But there is some significance to that we're going to see. I want to point out a few things as we launch into this. The first thing that is important that I want you to notice is the word understanding. In verse 2, it says understand. Verse 3, understand. Verse 7, understand. And verse 8, understood. Understanding is essential. Understanding is essential. And then I think that what we see here in these verses is the process for understanding God's authority and aligning our attitude. There is a process. You would think it would be easy, like, okay, well, we understand God is the authority and we have the right attitude, but there's something that has to take place. And there needs to be understanding of God's authority and what our attitude should be. So here's the process. It begins with God's authority. God's law is authoritative. It is the truthful source. And I'm not going to reread these verses, but in verse 1, the latter part of verse 1, it says, "The book of the law of Moses that the Lord commanded Israel." And there's always debate among scholars about, well, it could be this or it could be that. But most likely, this is the Pentateuch. This is the Old Testament scriptures that God inspired, he gave to Moses, and it included the law that they were supposed to follow. God's law that he gave to Moses was the authority. And then in verse 2, it says that Ezra brought the law. In verse 3, it says that Ezra read from it, meaning God's law. In the end of verse 3, it says the people listened to the book of the law. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book, or it was most likely a scroll, which is God's law. In verse 7, the multiple leaders helped the people understand what? The law. And in verse 8, they read from the book, the law. So in almost every verse, It's emphasizing the law, the law, the law, the law. We're reading from the law. We're listening to the law. The people had to understand, okay, this was all about understanding, right? Understanding is essential. But the first thing that they had to understand is that the authority that they need to be listening to, the source of authority is God's law. I think there's a lot of confusion in this world today. Would you agree? Maybe a head nod. There's a lot of confusion. There's spiritual confusion. There's gender confusion. There's political confusion. There's a lot of confusion. And I can't stand up here and say I have all the answers for all of it. But I can stand up here and say that one of the foundational reasons for all of the confusion and lack of understanding that we have in this world stems from the fact that we do not recognize God, the one true God, and His Word as our source of truth and authority. Can I get an amen? So we need God's Word as our authority, but God's Word needs to be communicated, right? So then the second step in this process of understanding God's authority and aligning our attitude is the teaching of God's law, or teaching. And this is God's law clearly explained. Notice this. Well, we're going to see it in verses 7 and 8. But the teaching of God's law, this fascinates me, this idea of communication, this word communication, because when I was young, I used to think I understood what it meant. Well, communication, that's when somebody speaks. I used to think that's what it meant. Maybe you thought something else. But a good communicator said one time, when he was articulating it, he said, communicating isn't speaking. He said, communication isn't singing. Communication isn't writing. Those can all be forms or tools for communication, but he said communication is the transferring of understanding. It's when what's understood in my mind becomes understood in your mind, then we have communication. And so the teaching of God's Word, in an attempt to transfer understanding from the authority of God's Word to our hearts, to align our attitude, the teaching of God's Word is the first part or the first step in communication. Are you with me? Have I communicated it properly? All right? So there's two steps in communication. There's the giving of information, which might be written, it might be a song, it might be spoken, all right? That's the giving of information, but there also has to be the receiving of information, and that those two need to be the same. That understanding needs to transfer. In verse 7, all those names that I can't pronounce, here's what I want you to notice about that. There are multiple teachers. Multiple teachers. It's not about a person or a personality. It's about receiving good teaching and a good explanation of God's Word. I so appreciated, for numerous reasons, my family and I being able to be on a 3-month sabbatical last summer. One of the things that I was really excited about was the opportunity that we as a church, I say we even though I wasn't here because I'm a part of you all, we're a family, but the church family that was here, which was everybody but me, you all were able to listen to God's Word being taught by different communicators, primarily Nathan and Charles. And we had Dr. Lewis and Dr. Franks and other communicators as well. But think about it. Here in verse 7, it mentions a whole bunch of different people, all of these different people, and it says, and they help the people to understand the law. And then in verse 8, it says, they read the law clearly and they gave the sense. It says, they read from the book of the law of God clearly and they gave the sense so that the people could understand. So in order to understand God's word, in order to receive it, we have to have good, clear teaching. Do we agree with that? Good, clear teaching doesn't guarantee communication actually happens. Did you know that? Good, clear teaching does not guarantee that communication actually happens. It also requires attentive listening. Attentive listening. Look at verse 3. It says, and he read from it, that's the law, facing the square before the water gate from the early morning until midday. Continue on in verse 3. It says, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, and here it is, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The people were attentive to God's law. Even though they stood there for around 6 hours, they were attentive to God's law. This is the second half of communication, when the understanding of the speaker is understood by the listener. I think the single greatest test or lessons that I've learned in communication come from being married. Can I get a nod from the married people? I think, yeah, there's some wives are nodding their heads too. I think husbands, we tend to be more confused when we're trying to communicate with our wives. And I think it started when we were dating, and I'm still trying to learn how to read my wife's mind. I really am. I'm taking classes and reading articles. No. But I just remember dating and driving down the road, and she said, hey. I'm like, hey. She's like, it would be nice to get ice cream sometime. What I understood was that she thought it would be nice to get ice cream sometime. That is what I thought, and I could not have been more wrong. I have learned, and I think every husband and wife have to learn their own language, right? You have to learn each other's heart. But I have learned that when my wife hints at something, she's giving me the opportunity to step up as a loving husband and fulfill her desire. And so I have to read between the lines. And so when she says now, hey, I would like to get ice cream sometime. If we're driving, I'm like, nearest exit, blinker, wham, right now. All right, what ice cream options do we have? All right, and I'm looking, I'm on the hunt, you know? And so I've learned, like, okay, communication. And I know, and then it gets hard, because other times, then it's like, well, don't read too much into it. It's like, well, wait a minute, I'm trying to, you know, so sometimes you have to read into it, other times you don't. But communication is teaching God's word, but also attentive listening to God's word. Now, what's the evidence of that? What is the evidence of that? Evidence of actually receiving God's word attentively and listening is a heart that is engaged. It's heart engagement. Look at verse 6. It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, or he praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, we agree, amen, so be it. Lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I want to point out two things here in this one verse. The first is humility. Humility. It says they bowed their heads, and then later it says their faces to the ground. I want you to think about the external posture that we have. And if we were in the presence of literal, physical, present royalty, we would have appropriate posture. Am I right? If we were supposed to sit, we would sit. If we were supposed to stand, we would stand. Right? They were listening to God's word. They were listening attentively, and proof of that is because they had humility, and that was demonstrated in their external posture. Their heads were bowed, their faces were to the ground. It says they also lifted their hands. And I don't know about you, but even when I was young and I would watch people of different religions and they would have different practices, one particular religion, it's not the only one, they have prayer mats and they would roll out their prayer mat and then they would get down on their knees, they would raise their hands and then bow themselves to the ground. And raise their hands and bow themselves to the ground. And I used to think, that's wrong. That's what I used to think. That's wrong. Was I right about that judgment? Definitely not. There's nothing wrong about kneeling, raising your hands, and bowing yourself to the ground. Now, it's important who we're bowing to. It's important who we're praying to. But one thing I didn't realize is that in Judeo-Christianity, the Jews practiced that also. And wherever they were, geographically, in comparison to Jerusalem, they always prayed toward Jerusalem, the holy city. And they would probably roll out a mat, and they would kneel down, and they would raise their hands, and they would bow their faces in humility toward Jerusalem. Not worshiping Jerusalem, but worshiping the holy city, which was representative of the presence of God. That's where the temple was. So just pause here for a moment and think about this. What is it in our lives that demonstrates that we are attentively listening to God's word? Can somebody observe your life and mine and say, they do this or this or this, which demonstrates their humility? It demonstrates the fact that they are listening to God's word. Maybe something so simple as folding your hands and bowing your head before you eat your lunch in your break room at work or at a restaurant. Do you do that? I think that's a simple way. Maybe you can think of other ways. How is it that my heart engagement that demonstrates my attentive listening to God that produces that humility in my external posture? Do I bow my head before God? Do I put my face to the ground? Maybe we should try it sometime. What if we got down on our knees and bowed our heads straight down to the ground? Get down like that in your bedroom. You might say, well, I look like an idiot. We'll do it in private. See what it does to yourself. And when the Bible talks about lying down prostrate on the ground, they weren't even on their knees. They laid down. I can't do it over here because of the speakers. They literally laid down on their bellies with their feet stretched out. Like, I'm going to get as low as I possibly can get before God. I'm going to lay out completely with my face buried to the ground. But then also notice the internal praise when it says they worshiped the Lord. And I like this where it combines both this heart, this attitude that is in alignment with God. It was demonstrated by their outward, their external, their physical posture. They were kneeling, raised hands, and then bowing their hands and faces to the ground. But it wasn't just about, hey, look what I'm doing. It wasn't just about, if I get into this position, then God will be pleased. Or if I jump through this hoop, or if I go to my prayer closet, or if I sit down and do my devotions every morning. It wasn't about this ritual. Yes, the external posture was a demonstration of their heart and their humility, but their heart engagement, it produced that humility where they had the proper external posture, but they had the internal heart of worship. It wasn't about what position they were in as much as what position their heart was in. Are you with me? And so they received the clear teaching of God's word, and their response is to say, we are humbled and we are worshipful. We are humbled and we are worshipful. Humility and worship. I like things that are what I call simply profound. It sounds like a paradox. And so I just want to review and then apply this to our lives. And I'm not going to spoon feed you an application. I want you to do some work in your own selves, in your own minds. Understanding is the key. Understanding is the key. We're talking about, let's get big picture here. They rebuilt the walls. Up to this point, it's like all about the walls. It's all about this physical, tangible structure. And now they bring the law, and it's all about understanding. Nehemiah says, Ezra, you know what we need? We got the walls built, but that's not the most important thing. That's very important to have structure. But the most important thing is that we have clear teaching of God's law. So we recognize God's authority, and then we can have hearts that are in proper alignment with his authority. So here's the question. Do we recognize God's word as our supreme authority? I'll ask it again. Do we recognize God's word as our supreme authority? And if so, do we need God's word to realign our attitude? What is my attitude? What is your attitude toward God? Are we attentive? Are we receiving the information? And is it aligning our hearts after God? This week, I hope that we can embrace this and say, hey, you know what? God's word is my authority. Maybe you haven't been spending time in God's word. It's not about jumping through hoops and completing devotional plans. Those are all good tools, but it's not about the hoops. It's about God's authority. So let's pursue God's authority. Let's listen with attentive hearts, and let's respond with an attitude, a heart alignment with humility and worship. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that we have in your word. Lord, with all the confusion in this world, I thank you for the fact that we can go to you as the divine source of truth. Lord, help us to recognize your authority and to have our attitude and our hearts aligned with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.